Normally at this time we have what we call a semi-program meeting for worship, which has a lot of silence in it. It might be obvious by this point that that's not what's happening this morning. Instead, we have quite a few guests from out of town who are going to put on a fully programmed meeting for worship. It will be quite different from what we usually experience here. And I'd like to begin by introducing Ron Bryan. Where is Ron? Ron is the general superintendent of Iowa Yearly Meeting, and he has really put this worship together. I'll turn it over to Ron.
We have in the leading of the musical portion is the William Penn University Campus Ministry Department under the leadership of Spencer Thury, who's sitting on the box drum, and he will be leading the worship. I think we're going to do three numbers or so before we enter into a speaking portion of our service this morning. I wanted to say, and am I going to be introduced again later? Or is this it? This is it. All right.
Got it.
Following the worship music, we will have our guest speaker is George Kamwesa from Columbus, Ohio. He and his wife Rose have flown up here for this weekend. George is a recorded Friends minister in Iowa Yearly Meeting. Got much of his formal education in Iowa, as well as graduate school, other places. I don't remember all those places. Asbury Seminary, okay. So we're very privileged to have George and Rose here with us this morning, and he'll be bringing a message to all of us following the music. I wanted to just say, and I wanted to say it during monthly meeting, but you were having so much fun in your business session, I didn't want to interrupt, that thank you. It has been a real privilege to come and follow the leadership and coordination efforts of David Woolley and Pat, wherever Pat is now. There she is. He was a voice and a face from my past years ago. We've worked and knew each other years past. So thank you so much for your hospitality and all that you have given to us and this discussion about the Kenyans and Minneapolis and other Africans that may be seeking to find a place and a way to have a more African-style worship service. So that's our discussion and what we've been focusing on here this weekend. So thank you so much, and I'll turn it over to Spencer to lead us in some music.
Great. I heard we had some singers last night in the crowd. I'm getting the you can't hear me signal. I'm concerned about that signal, because once we get going, then the signal becomes more like and that's not my intention. My intention is to be very community in this. I don't like the people up on the stage, then there's us down below. I like the circle. We're all on the same level here. Can somebody say amen to that? Equal. All right. So I have some, I'm not supposed to say noisemakers, so I'll say emotive instruments. Some shakers, if some children would like the shakers, or anyone, I'm going to just set those out. This one's already broken, so it can't get it can't get worse. Give that to a boy. Good. Wooden spoon probably won't help. If I give it to these guys, they'll break it. No. That could work on a chair. All right.
Whatever.
We'll set that out. There's also a box, so. This is a drum. I have another one here in front. If there's a musician, somebody that can keep a beat, please.
Like that?
Yes! All right, and I heard that there's somebody that, there's a group that understands Swahili vocal harmonies. We have a microphone for them, for Hakuna, and there's another song by Eti, but I'm not sure what, if anybody understands that language. Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi. What language is that? Anybody know? Bayeti. Could be. Your guess would be better than mine. Zulu? Zambian? Okay. We're going to experience a little of that too. It's already on the PowerPoint. Hallelujah. Let's stand. If we can stand together. Give me a G. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship together as an international community today. Beautiful, beautiful. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna nahata kawepo. Again. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna nahata kawepo. Nimbe tefuta kote kote Nimbe zenguka kote kote.
Give her the mic.
Hakuna nahata kuwepo. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe. Hakuna mangu kamawewe.
My mistake. Yes, that one. Okay. Nembe.
Nembe tembe ya kote kote. Nembe zenguka kote kote. Nembe zenguka kote kote. Hakuna nahata kuwepo.
Give me the walked and walked verse.
I walked and walked all over, over. I turned and turned all over, over. I searched and searched all over, over. There's no one, there's no one.
Again. I walked and walked.
I walked and walked all over, over. I turned and turned all over, over. I searched and searched all over, over. There's no one, there's no one left.
One more time, I walked and walked.
I walked and walked all over, over. I turned and turned all over, over.
I searched and searched
all over, over. There's no one like him.
Hakuna,
Hakuna mungu kamawewe. Hakuna mungu kamawewe. Hakuna mungu kamawewe. Hakuna na hata kuwepo.
Hakuna,
Hakuna mungu kamawewe. Hakuna mungu kamawewe.
No one like Jesus.
No one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one, there's no one like him.
There's no one like Jesus.
There's no one.
sing it again.
There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Mungu, come away. Hakuna Mungu, come away. Hakuna Mungu, come away. Hakuna nada go away. Amen. Amen. Yes, by it. We will try this. If this doesn't move, we won't stay here long. Say it with me. Bayeti. Again. Bayeti.
Bayeti.
Bayeti. Bayeti. Nikosi.
Nikosi.
Nikosi. Gently, quiet. Good. Bayeti. Here we go. Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti Nikosi, King, King of Kings. From the top. Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings. Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti Nikosi is King, King of Kings. Next. Who can manage Africa? You are crowned, Lord of all. You are crowned, King of Africa. Who can deny you are crowned, Lord of all? There we go. Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi is King, King of Kings. Gently. Who can match your greatness? Who can know your power? Greatness, who can deny you a crown, Lord of all? Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti Nikosi, King. King of Minneapolis, you are crowned. Lord of Iowa, you are crowned. King of the nations, who can deny you are crowned? Lord, let's sing that again. You are crowned. You are crowned. King of Minneapolis, you are crowned. Lord of Iowa, you are crowned. King of the nations, who can deny you a crown? Lord of all, wonderful! Bayeti, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti Nikosi, King, King of Kings. Last time, Bayeti. Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti, King of Kings, Bayeti, Bayeti Nikosi, Bayeti Nikosi, King, King of Kings.
bit of call and response.
When I don't feel it.
I don't feel it.
When I don't give it.
I don't get it.
When I don't want it.
When I don't want it.
Your love remains.
Your love remains.
When I don't see it.
When I don't.
When I am sinful,
when I am sinful,
when I am whining,
when I am whining,
your love remains,
your love remains.
When I am doubting,
when I am doubting,
when I am fighting, as I do worry,
as I do worry,
your love remains,
your love remains.
When I am teaching,
when I am teaching,
when I am studying,
when I am studying,
when I am listening,
when I am listening,
your love remains.
Say that again.
When you renew me,
you renew me.
When you restore me,
when you restore me.
When you redeem me,
you redeem me.
Your love remains,
your love remains.
Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the power.
Yours is the glory.
Your love remains.
Saying it, your love.
Your love remains.
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 Keep going.
We have as the music continues to play, think for a moment with me. I see a group, but there's also individuals. Individually, you are made in the sight of God. We can be lonely and yet can be surrounded, uncertain about what the future may hold. There can be tense in our hearts, or we can be at peace. I thank you, Lord, for your covering of love that covers all these things.
uncertain. Your love remains.
Just vocals.
Your love remains.
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 Together.
Your love remains.
I hate to break the silence. I hate to break the silence that each one of you was enjoying. I was enjoying too. But we have to move on. As you've been told, my name is Rose Kamwesa, and my husband George Kamwesa will soon be coming to share with you. He has asked me to read something, but before I read, I don't like reading glasses. On and off. He has asked me to read something, but before I read, I have something small to say. Thank you to the meeting, this meeting that graciously has opened its doors to us so that we can meet here. Thank you for catering for the needs of friends from Kenya and other parts of the world here. Thank you for everything. We cannot thank you enough. This morning, as I was coming with Fena, I shared with her a few thoughts. I have known Fena for some time, and Fena is the one who spearheaded this, even our being here, and some of you also being here from Iowa and other areas. She did that. And I was telling Fena, God has appointed you. Don't ever look back. God has prepared you for a long time. Fena comes from a large family. And she alone in that family has been a force. She has brothers. She has other sisters. And she alone, God has appointed to use her. And she doesn't look back. I don't think I have met any other woman from Kenya who works as hard as Fena does. She can put a lot of things together. And I was telling her, Fena, God was preparing you for something bigger. You have been doing things for the kingdom that comes to an end. And God is saying, the energy that you now have, I want you to do it for the kingdom that is everlasting. And this thing you have started, though small for now, it's going to grow into a bigger thing, and your name will be there. And I shared with her. She said, no, I don't think I can do that. I said, look here, Fena. When God called Moses, first of all, God kicked Moses out of the palace and sent him among sheep. I don't know if anybody has dealt with sheep. Moses spent decades in a wilderness talking to nobody but sheep. And God was preparing him for something big. He asked him to go back to the land where he had murdered somebody, to the Pharaoh who was not in favor of the children of Israel. And he told him, Moses, I want you to go. But God said, but I said you go. And there's nobody else who's going to do this thing. It is but you. And you know the journey of Moses. I don't want to go deep into it. God got to a point where he wanted the ark to be built. No, is it the ark? The tent of meeting, the tabernacle. And you know, these are people who have been in slavery building bricks with straw. They didn't know any mathematics. They didn't know much, but he said, you're going to build the tabernacle. Tell them to do this. He gave them the measurements, and he told them, he told Moses, it has to be built to scale. Moses, like, I can't see anybody in that group. They are but rebels. Who is going to do this? And God told him, okay, I got to put on my eyes. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, bear with the names, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed so-and-so, a son of Ahisamak. And I think that Ahisamak almost relates to Phena. Her former name is Phena Shimaka, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also have given him skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. It is a long story. When God knew that he was going to need that tent, he prepared people with skill. And all of us that do things, never should we take for granted to think that we are doing these things because we have taught them ourselves. Yes, I know we put in an effort, but it is just God that puts on the heart of each one of us that this is what you are going to do for me. And because you're going to do it for me, I'm going to equip you. The only thing I want you to be or to do is to say, yes, Lord. So, Phena, you're not running away from this. It's going to continue. It's going to bear your name. And God has appointed people. Already we disqualify ourselves from that, the pastoral care, because, you know, we are all above there in age. And we need people who can speak to the youth. Yes. You know, we do not, the youth these days, they don't listen to speeches. They don't listen to sermons. They don't listen to a lot of things. You know what? They Twitter. They are information. We are not very skilled in that. But, you know, that is an example of Moses saying, I can't even speak. You know, God, I stammer. I'm just going to make a fool of myself. But who knows? God has started this thing, and he has appointed people we may not know. It could be anybody. It could be you. Who knows? He knows that I have the people. This is not about Phena. It's not about Minneapolis monthly meeting. It's not about Iowa yearly meeting. It is about my kingdom. And I knew who I'm going to use even before it came to you. And so, let's not look back. And those who are standing in support of this project, never look back. Let's not look at our stammering tongues. Let's not look at our height. Let's not look at our limitations, but let us open our eyes to say, God, go on and do what you have started. But we're going to say, thank you, God, for making us a part of this. Even if it means praying, taking time every day to pray for this project, pray. If it means giving a nickel, give it. If it means giving your time, give it. In whatever way God has prepared each one of us, let us give it. While we are in Ohio, we are not going to be detached from it with distance. We are going to be attached to this project because we know already God has appointed us a part of it in whatever capacity. If God says, yes, I want you two to go, let us not look at ourselves and say, oh no, but you know, we got old God, we are just old woman and an old man, we can't do that. How old was Moses? You know how old he was? And those stubborn Israelites, they had children, they had sheep, they had donkey, they had camel, all those stubborn animals to add on the stubborn people. And God gave Moses the ability. So we cannot dismiss ourselves, and we cannot say, yes, we want to do it, because we don't know who God has appointed. And that particular person, even if that person is not here today, he's going to show up. Because God is going to say, I have a job for you. I have work for you to do in Minneapolis. And because of that, we are going to partner together in prayer and in supplication so that God can do the work he has started. Okay, now let me get back to what my husband told me to do. I was... He asked me to read Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, according to his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I go on to verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. I'm reading from Luke, verse 8 to what? 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on men, on whom his favor rests. And I'm reading from Psalms, what? 62? What? 11. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. I want to say a word of prayer for my husband before he comes. Lord, our Father in heaven, thank thank you for gathering us together this morning. We are in your presence, and we thank you for that. As much as undeserving as we are, you let us to come to you as little children go to their father. They don't care who the father is. They just know that that is their father. They could be muddy. They could be running noses. They could be as dirty as anything. But they don't care. They are coming to the father. And that is the image in which each one of us come today. And Father, we are praying that you will touch each one of us to remove the dirty garments on us and put pure and clean garments on us so that we can feel comfortable in your presence because you are a holy God. Let us put aside our desires. Let us put aside our thoughts. Let us put aside our everything and focus on you. As we have had this morning, even when we are unfocused, your love remains. May your love remain for now and forevermore. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Welcome.
Oh. It's always hard to follow my wife. Because I can always say amen for what she has already said. Friends, I want again to hitchhike already on what has been mentioned. David, on behalf of the friends in Minneapolis, thank you so very much for making it possible for us to be here this weekend. And thank you for IOE meeting and for the singing group and for our campus minister, Spencer, and the group for being here and really helping us to worship a little bit in a different way, but it was great. And Ron, being the superintendent and being here, Mary Glenn, and so forth. Believe God for the impossible and begin living a life of faith. That is a book that I've been reading, and it has those thoughts that we needed to believe God for the impossible and begin living by faith. I want to begin by a little bit introducing myself. I come from Kenya, the western part. The history of Friends is that Arthur Chilson, Edgar Hall, and Willis Hotchkiss came to the continent of Africa to introduce the Christian faith. And I thank God that today I'm here because those three people were faithful to follow the leading of the Lord, and that is why I'm here. And that is why we are connecting with Fena and the group that is here in Minneapolis. Because somehow God spoke during that time, and he's speaking today. And so who am I not to respond to what he's trying to say, but be here together with you? I wanted to say that one of the gifts that I received when I was in Kenya, training in what is now called Friends Theological College in Kaimosi, Ron, and perhaps some of you have been in Kenya and you know what the school is all about, preparing for Friends pastors. We had a British friend who was the principal, there, and I took a class. I took a psychology class. I wasn't really, that class I didn't understand very much about it, but Eric Wyatt, who served some time also in Jamaica, was what you call the meanest person to give grades. Those of you who are in class in school, you can understand that, because you couldn't get beyond five. If he was very fair, he would give you 2.5 marks, and so on. And so in the class, I didn't do very well. But when we finished the class, I remember I was given a gift, and that gift was a book that had been written about the Gospels, and I received that as the only person in the class. And I looked in my library, even where we are in Ohio, and I found that gift is still there, given by Eric Wyatt. We're talking about an amazing gift of God in Jesus Christ. One of the other gifts that I received, some of you who are connected with IOEL meeting, you know that Marvin Hoeksemer was one of the superintendents of IOEL meeting. And he was my principal when I was a student. And that is one of the gifts that I enjoyed, having a person I could look to as a leader. He developed what I have. He mentored, the word in this country, he mentored. He was a leader for that. And so I treasure the fact that Marvin Hoeksemer had an influence in me. But the other thing I think that I have received as a gift, an amazing gift, is my wife. And God has blessed us with four boys. One is in California, two are in Indiana, and one is in Ohio. And the younger one is just married, and told the other older boys, because you're still waiting and trying to debate what you will do, I'm going to show you that I can do it. So he is already married, and he's the youngest. But God has blessed us with marriage. On Monday, it will be, how many years?
On Tuesday.
Well, that's why I need her, because 31 years, and God has been good. God has been good. An amazing gift. And my topic is talking a little bit about an amazing gift, especially this season that we are in, season of Christmas. Many people are busy preparing, and sometimes the season can become very hectic because many people want to make sure that everything is ready and so forth and so on. One of the persons that received an amazing gift in the Bible is a person they call Saul of Tarsus. The Bible do tell us that Saul of Tarsus was a Pharisee, and he was a leader during that time. But he did not like the church. He did not like the people during that time. And so he was doing a lot of havoc and running and taking people and taking them to the jail. And one of these days when he was on that road, God spoke to him. And the song comes to mind that says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazareth, and wonder why he would love a sinner condemned and unclean. And that amazing grace spoke to a man who was breathing threats to the Christian church and blinded him. And he said, Lord, who are you? love is so powerful, the love of God, that instead of going the wrong direction, God spoke to him to go to the right direction. He received an amazing gift. An amazing gift in three aspects. One is that God is a pursuing God. He pursues us with his love. We may run away from him, but he does pursue us. And Paul was running away from God as far as he could. But God pursued him. And when he found him, the light blinded him. But I believe it was God's love that was so powerful that it changed him from the inside. And instead of going the wrong way, he decided he wanted to go the right way. So God's amazing gift, one, is that he's a pursuing love. God is patiently pursuing each one of us and wanting to communicate to us. In 1968, I was one that God was pursuing as a young person, growing up and knowing, not knowing him. But God pursued me, and he found me. And I remember the old song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come." He pursued me, and he found me. I'm glad I don't have anything to regret up to this point. It's been good. So the amazing gift of God is the pursuing love of God. But also, not only the pursuing, but it's the compassionate love. There was a young man in the book of Luke that went away from home, so far from home, they called him the prodigal son. But God was so compassionate through the scripture. It describes that the father was looking and looking and looking and hoping the son will come back home. And when he was far away, he saw him. And he ran and he grabbed him and he hugged him and he kissed him and he said, "My son was lost. My son was dead. But he is now alive." God's love this season is God is the amazing gift that he gives to us. He's pursuing, he pursues us, and he's compassionate. Not only compassionate, but God's amazing love. He's also a pardoning love. Zacchaeus was a very small person, short. But then he wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus was passing through the crowd, and he had no way of how to find him but to run into a tree and therefore take a little bit of a glimpse of who he was. But Jesus saw him right there in the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because today I want to go to your home so I can dine with you and abide with you." God's amazing love is not only a pursuing love, is not only a compassionate love, but it's also a pardoning love, because God invites us to come to him through Christ. And then secondly, he is not only God's amazing gift is not only an amazing love that is pursuing, compassionate, and pardoning, but is amazing power. God's love is amazing power. It is amazing because that Saul of Tarsus turned around to be Paul the Apostle that we read. Because it says the gospel is the power of God for salvation. The apostle, there was one time they were put in prison, Paul and Silas, and at midnight they were praying. And when they prayed, the prison shook, and the light shone around, and the prisoners, the guards ran around to find out whether the prisoners had left. And Paul and Silas, they said, "We are all here, don't harm yourself, we are all here." And when they saw the power of God's love, they said, "What can we do?" And he said, "Believe and you will be saved, you and your family." So the amazing thing about Christmas, about the gift of God, about God pursuing us on the continent of Africa, about God pursuing men and women, and God going even to pursue George Fox. That amazing love of God through the person of Jesus Christ is the one that pursued Paul and even pursued the prisoner, the jailer, who said, "What can we do?" And he said, Paul said, "Believe and you will be saved, you and your family." So God's amazing power is, it saves, but also it heals. Let me take a little bit of liberty to mention that Mary Glenn is here. And Mary Glenn, if you can kindly stand so that people can see you. I didn't prepare you for this, but you know I'm from Kenya, so sometimes we do things spontaneously. I don't know how many years I've been. I worked with Mary Glenn. And when we were in Richmond, Indiana, at the Friends United meeting, Mary Glenn became sick. And she needed to see the doctor very urgently because she had a very strong need for medical attention. They made arrangements for her to go to Houston, Texas. Thank you for standing up. Houston, Texas. She made arrangement with her sister so that her sister would go personally to go and stay with her for about how many weeks? About 5 weeks. 5 months. Because it was going to take a little bit long. But then she asked us to participate in prayer. And when she got in Houston, the doctors checked. There were not only one, but they consulted each other, they checked, and they found that really the sickness that was there was no longer there. And somehow God had touched her. Of course, we call it remission, right? But we know that God is in the healing business. Because Mary Glenn is here, God has continued to touch and to be faithful to her. That is the amazing gift of God, because it's not only the power of God to save, but it's the power of God to heal as well, if we believe in Him and so on. Let me finish by saying the amazing gift of God in that book that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And it puts in the Jews and the Gentiles. And in this case, for me, coming from Africa, I'll say it puts in people from Africa, people from Asia, people from United States, people from Britain. That the gospel came for every individual person on the face of the globe. Whether they are from the West, whether they are from the East. Whether they are red or Indian or white or black. That the gospel cuts through. And that there is I need to make sure that I'm saying that right. That the ground is level for everyone. Right, Spencer? That the ground is level for everyone. All of us come through that person that calls himself Jesus of Nazareth. And that Christmas, lest we make it, and lest we take the point of it, that God came to make the ground level. And that the ground is level and the rules are the same. And that those rules is that we are saved by grace through Jesus Christ. And He has given an offer. And that offer is for everyone. And so God is offer for the young people. God's offer for us who are adults. God's offer for the Indians in the reservations. God's offer for people in Britain where George Fox came from. And somehow they began to think, as I was there and spoke to them, they say, well, we are the people of the Enlightenment. But George Fox was on the hills of preaching loud and calling people to come to the Savior, whom he called the Lamb of God. And that voice is still going on. And that is why in Africa, down in the villages, I heard the voice. Because you people from here in the West were faithful enough to say Africa needs to be included. And that the ground is level, and that the rules are the same, and that Christ saves, and because He saves, He helps us to see the way. And He has made that offer. And I want to conclude by saying that offer is still very real for us here today. He makes the offer for us to receive the gift that God has given. And that is why the Apostle Paul, at one time he was going the wrong way, but God offered him something new. And he became not only a murderer, but not a persecutor of the church, but rather a servant of Christ. And then he would say, I'm not ashamed. My wife, I'm not ashamed of introducing her to you that this is my wife. If you have a friend that you know, like I know Spencer now, I'm not afraid to introduce you to our sister here. And say, I know Spencer because he's the campus minister of William Penn University. I'm not ashamed to do that. because I know you. I'm not ashamed of introducing Ron as the pastor, as the pastor that we worked with in IOL meeting before he became the superintendent of what he is now. I'm not ashamed of introducing Mary Gland because I've known her, we have worked with her, and because of that, that's why I can pick on her. We can talk later on, but I can pick on her like that because I know her. When we know something, we are proud of what we know. When Jesus meets our way like he met the apostle Saul of Tarsus, that's why he says, I'm not ashamed, really, of the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, and it's an offer that has been given to everyone. And I'm here to tell you, from Africa, if you haven't had it, that Jesus is the gift of God offered to all of us if we can but receive the gift that God has given. If I were to give you something that is a gift, if I have it in my hand, the only way you can possess it is to reach out and to take it from my hand. God has done that through Jesus Christ. And the group that is here, I hope they cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ, because he is the power of God. Because he calls all of us on the ground level, and the rules are the same. I want us to pray together as we conclude. What are you excited about? What makes you feel a little bit ashamed? Have you really come to a point where you can say, I've really received the gift of God in the person of Jesus Christ? He offers that gift to us today. Christmas will be completely different when we know the center of it is God's love for you and for me. And he offers that gift to us so that we are not ashamed of him. Father, I want to praise you and thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that you changed a man like Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul, because of the amazing gift of God. Thank you, Lord, for pursuing him. Thank you, Lord, for your compassionate love. Thank you, Lord, for your pardoning. Lord, help each one of us, if this is not true in our lives, that it can be just now. Jesus, you are faithful. You are loving, you are kind, you embrace, you empower, you lead, you transform. May your Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us and bless us in the days that lie ahead. Give us something to get excited about, like the Apostle Paul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
friends. So next Sunday, we will be back on our usual schedule. But for any of you who are interested in helping to organize ongoing programmed Quaker meetings for worship like we've just experienced, there will be a discussion on our lower level starting in just a few minutes. And you're welcome to attend that. Oh, and George has told me he's got outlines of his message for today for anybody who would like a copy. I'm not able to introduce all the guests, but maybe I'll have Ron do that.
Let's just have Spencer come up here and let's introduce all our college students, if we can. And we have John Muhunji. I don't know, some of you have probably not met him. He is the Africa Ministries Office Director in Kisumu, Kenya. He is here in America right now completing a master's program at Earlham School of Religion. He will be done in just a matter of a few days and returning to Kenya to assume his duties back in Kisumu. As well as Spencer, why don't you come up here. George and Rose, I didn't say too much about you other than I don't know why we ever let you out of Iowa. Huh? You don't know either. So, it's such a blessing to be with you today. Thank you very much. Spencer, introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Aurore Umutesi, and I'm from Rwanda. I go to school at William Penn University. I'm a senior, and I'm studying IT and computer science.
I'm Devin Combs. I was born in Burlington, Iowa, but I'm from Vegas.
I'm Robert Radcliffe. I'm from Marshalltown, Iowa. Want me to use the mic? I don't think I need it. Marshalltown, Iowa. My name is Robert Radcliffe. I'm a sophomore at William Penn, psychology major with a religion minor.
I'm Darren Radcliffe, his brother, also from Marshalltown, Iowa. From William Penn, studying industrial engineering with a computer science and religion minor.
Jean Bikomeye from Rwanda. I'm my senior. Okay, I'm a senior at William Penn studying biology with a minor in chemistry and physics.
I'm Dylan Westrick. I'm from San Diego, California. I'm a freshman at William Penn, and I'm studying, or my major is physical education with emphasis in strength and conditioning. And yeah.
I'm Jason Morehead, originally from Detroit, Michigan, studying sports business at William Penn. I'm the youth pastor at College Avenue Friends Church in Oskaloosa.
Spencer Thury, chaplain, spiritual life director at William Penn University. I grew up in Bloomington. And when I found the warmth that's in Iowa, I moved south. But I had the honor of staying with my mom's house last night in Bloomington. That was great. So this is old home. Wanted the students to have an urban experience, so we went to White Castle Hamburgers last night. And they had some bubble tea also last night. So they're trying to figure out what tapioca is. That's what the chemistry degree is for.
Rick Bachman from our yearly meeting. I'm on the church extension board. And
I'm Mary Glenn Hadley. I live in Indianola, Iowa. It's nice to be with you today.
And Mary Glenn is chairperson of the missions committee, which also makes her chairperson of the board on coordination, which is my immediate boss. So, and it is such a privilege to have the opportunity to minister and work with Mary Glenn, who has been whether she knows it or not, a mentor for me, even in the years that I was not walking with the Lord. But she continues to be a leader in Iowa Yearly Meeting. We're so privileged to have her with us today. I think that concludes it, does it? Thank you so much.